See, like, the Hillman better before they could.
Oh, yeah, I don't like those boobs. I'm fat. When I shine in them, I go way down upon the table. If I can't stand to go nowhere and sit in them, I can't stand them. But this more like a diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's yeah, like right. Yeah, that's yeah, what it looks like. Yeah, that's what it looks like. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And the people from the university, you see, like Mr. John Moorhead and what's the they give you the planetarium. And those types of people, when they come in, that just looked like home. They were just coming in and they enjoyed it.
They liked that.
They had good food, oh my goodness. Mm. And service, they had just all kinds of service.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I'm going to see how where it is here, Ron.
Looks like it might be one of the suites.
I think it's two of
them. Sweet,
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 sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Right
there. That's
it. Mm-hmm. There's a bed, too, there. Now, what room would that
bed.
What room would that have been? Oh, it's not, it is. It's over to, I see where it is. Don't you see, they got the pocket flow.
Hmm.
And that was over. Oh, well, what if they got the suites now? But there weren't suites then. I mean, there were suites then, but see, when we first come, it wasn't a part of the hotel. It was belonged to the hotel, but it wasn't a part of the hotel. It was shut off. And they rented as apartments to people that worked in the university, like secretaries.
Yeah.
And
that's the building that's the alumni house right now?
No, not the alumni house. It's where it's got all the suites. We used to call them the park. You know what I'm talking about?
So it was attached.
It's over back. It's over on, what I'm talking about now, it's 254, 251, 350, and all that game. They had little French doors when you got to the end of the steps and they were closed. So that was all for the hotel after we went. And then when we came, they rented it to like secretaries, and not only secretaries, but at the same time the war had just started.
Mm-hmm.
And we had
the pre-flight
school was here. And they were rented to a lot of the pre-flighters and their families. It was always used as a family house, not an apartment house, when it was part of the hotel.
Uh-huh.
Then after the war, Mr. Rogerson opened it up and started using it as a part of the hotel.
As rooms for the hotel?
Yeah, like they got 350 and all like that. But see, we didn't go over there and buy a little day until after the war was over. And then when they started just remodeling in 52 and all that
stuff,
that was a part of the remodeling too. They moved the doors and then they bought furniture and set the rooms up. They weren't set up as suites then. They were set up, they had four beds in them. You know, each room had a bed.
Mm-hmm.
They were set up like that at first to rent more rooms out. And that type of thing, we didn't go, we didn't work over there. Most of the people come, like if you come and got a job at the university and had nowhere to live, the university found your house. If you were single or married and had one child or two children, it had a kitchen and everything there. So just took all that out. And, then she's talking about the alumni house, that was an apartment too. We never worked over there. The alumni house.
No,
we never worked over there. That was apartments too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people lived there during pre-flight school. The officers did.
I don't think the officers lived. I don't remember them living over there. They were mostly university workers. Nothing like the Miss Catherine, what her name? She was dean of college. Used to live over there.
Catherine Carmel.
Yeah, she lived over there. She's telling me I go there sometimes help clean up her father, and I talk to him. She say, "Yeah, awesome." And I. And then there was a whole lot, because this part was like a new kitchen right here. The new cafeteria was here.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, that's why she wants me to come, so I can do all the talking to her. And it was her, that's why she wouldn't come by. So. There was some here. downstairs. Well, you go downstairs, not where the it's not the men's room. Yeah, but the men's room downstairs, that was the men's room. The men's room was over here. They didn't have that hallway to go to the new part. That was where the place stopped. You had a pair of steps to come down and go up. And outside, they had a house out there.
Yeah, over.
That little house, see, that was the backyard.
Uh-huh, was that?
That was the backyard.
Okay. And was that the Graham's house, is that right?
No, this was just a little cottage they had there back there. I don't remember, I never been there. It was just a cottage out there where they would rent the families and the children and things like that. And you'd have to go out there and clean that up sometimes. You know, little cottage.
That was the sister, who did Mr. Wright out there?
He lived out there for a while. Mr. Wright out lived out there with his family for a while. But it was just a little what was it, three-room cottage?
About three rooms.
About three-room cottage out in the backyard.
So it's where the parking lot is now?
Well, yeah, where the parking lot is.
Uh-huh.
Some of the parking lot.
Yeah.
Because, see, after Mr. Reisman bought in the parking, the whole parking lot, he was taking two big old houses over.
Yeah. We had to take care of those.
Yeah. Two. See, he bought the land and stuff to park for the new building to go in.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't put Billy right there. And it was two big old houses over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they would rent them out, and we'd have to go in those big houses. We'd have to go there and clean some old big houses.
So where were these big houses?
In the backyard.
Well. So there was a cottage and two big houses?
Well, I mean, it was all the back. The cottage was in the backyard of the whole thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the big houses was on Pittsburgh Street.
Like across the street?
No, it was. The backyard, we could go from here to them.
Right beside the inn, on this side of the street.
Yeah, on this side of the street.
Okay.
But we could just leave here and go back after we bought them, you know, go right through the back and go to the back door. So
uh-huh.
In the back this way. And we'd have to go on, how many rooms that thing had?
Don't ask me.
Well, you know how the houses were built then, but they weren't.
Well, huge house.
I don't know how many rooms.
How many rooms did it have? Did it have?
Upstairs,
you had them all upstairs. Did it have 9, 10, 8 or 10? What's
yeah.
That?
Had
like
10 houses. Something
and
like
she,
that.
And when she came here, you had what you used to call the alumni house. What was that y'all used to call? That was the house there. What they used to call?
Alumni house.
No. Well, before they put the alumni house there. They had the annex out there, they called it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that had a house out there, a two-story house in the back.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Where the alumni house is.
Uh-huh.
And there was a two-story house out there, too. And that was called an annex. And you had to go out there and clean that.
And was that a home, someone's home?
I never been over where they built that. I think it was. I believe that was the, I don't know, but I don't know because see, I was younger then, and I don't know. Because when I knew it was there because I had been around here all my life. But when I came to work, it wasn't there. They had towed it down and put the lumber house there. But I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe that was the original house on the property. I'm not sure.
What, did they rent that out to
yeah.
The fire street? They rented those rooms out?
Oh, yeah. Go down and clean up that, too.
Oh, it's so good to see you.
Mr. Wills.
Uh-huh. Now, is this the one that used to live at 252 that Willie used to say that he could hear his newspaper rattling at night? That's after he died.
No, I think, yeah, I believe it was.
Now, his name
was on the new wing, what's that? 272.
Yeah.
72 is where he died.
Uh-huh.
272?
Well, he was 272.
Uh-huh. This is a different man that died in 272.
Mm-hmm. I think it's 272 where he was in the new wing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he got sick from Goldsboro. You know the wheels in Goldsboro?
Yeah.
I think this was his brother.
Uh-huh.
I think or any cousin brother or something.
Uh-huh.
And he got sick.
Uh-huh.
And he was very sick and he lived in little. And they brought him here to go back and go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, and they would stay here while she take him to the hospital.
Yeah.
And then he would go to the cafeteria, you know, and the people in the cafeteria would wait on him because he was sick, you know.
Yeah.
They would kind of pet him a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, they was nice to him. Then he'd go out there at the front. Yeah. And the front desk would talk to him.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was friendly to him and everything.
Yeah.
And then when he went back, the last time he went back to the hospital, the doctor, he was in there.
Yeah.
And he was very sick and everything.
Uh-huh.
And she had to, was going to take him back home.
To Goldsboro.
To Goldsboro. And he said he did not want to go back home. If he was going to die, he wanted to die in the Carolina.
Lord.
So she went to Mr. Moses and asked Mr. Moses if she was bringing him in.
Oh, Lord.
When they told me that, I thought they was really joking.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Moses mauled his mouth. He said, no. So they're not joking. And so when he said, yes, so Mr. Moses, I think it was 172 or 272 or something new when I started with him.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was 272.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, so they bought him back.
Yeah.
And he died there.
Uh-huh.
Said he wanted to die right here, but he was happy to die right here.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he died.
Uh-huh. Wow. That's a pretty good endorsement.
He probably lived about 2 weeks or 3 weeks after.
Mm-hmm.
He was about 2 weeks off home for a day. Because he didn't want to go back home and he didn't get that girl. He wanted to go right to the day.
Yeah,
you know,
stay right here. Well, now, I was trying to think. It was it 252 or 250 that the doctor?
You got my doctor. Who are you talking about?
Huh?
They died up in 252.
You know,
the old
man.
Was it 252
here? I think that's right. You know, he was talking about the roof was cleaned up for the doctor. What's his name? He died up there in 252.
252.
Mm-hmm.
He died 1-9. I know Al told me there's a big function going on and there's a big party going on, like the press association was here or something, and said they were coming in the front door with the press, with the governor, and they were coming going out the back door with the earth and
body. I think if that's the same one you're talking about, you know the old man who's staying 252.
What about you?
Well, I tell you what Willie Webb can tell us, because he used to say that you could go up there. Said you could hear you go up on the second floor,
you
could hear the newspaper rattling.
Up in the morning, never been married, he was back, was that the one, was back. An old man that stayed up in 252, I think, you know, Ruth used to clean up for him, he and Mr. Crawford, I mean, she used to put over there and clean up his car, you know. I can't think of his name right now.
I think it starts with the C, but I couldn't tell.
But Mr. Combat, could be it in 203.
Uh-huh.
That was his car.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was his car.
Uh-huh.
I mean, probably was his car. He's talking about it. So I don't think Al was in Mr. Combat.
No, I don't think. No, this is later, a little bit. It was
mm-hmm,
later on. Because
mm-hmm.
I remember Al telling the story about Al Dawson telling the story about it. How they had, I don't know which group was here, but the press association or something was here, and the governor was coming that night.
Uh-huh.
And said that they had the governor coming in the front door, the body and the hearse going out the back door.
That's always a problem when that happens, you know.
Yeah.
But what I mean, it's a problem to the point that everybody gets. Right, the first thing you know,
they don't ever
want to
stay in that room.
No. So we'll say, we don't know who died.
No, because they get food.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no,
yeah.
So they won't stay in that room.
Well, I know tonight, Nathan Rogers, head waiter here for a number of years, he fell and had he had a near stroke is what he had. One night they had the medical alumni.
Oh, he did?
They had a big dinner, had a medical alumni dinner for about 500 people in the UNC ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
And Nathan, of all times, had a near stroke. He had it in the middle of 500 doctors. There was one of the secretaries from the medical school that had sort of organized and arranged the whole meeting. Anyway, she comes flying up there and crying, tears streaming. She says, Lord, it's Nathan. She says, why can't it be one of them damn doctors? We can't live without Nathan.
But no, you never can tell nobody. A room where nobody died, you know.
Yeah.
So people come to your house because if you it seemed to go everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And everybody come here.
Decide they're going to check into Carolina Inn and just drink for 4 or 5 days or something,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it happened.
That
was a nice place
it
to have a good time.
And
it happened
to come out, you know, not dying,
this
but taking
a nice
them, you know, out of the hotel on the stretcher because they're not able to
go
out by themselves.
Yeah.
And take them, leave here and admit them to the hospital, you know.
You want to be able to remember what you're saying.
That happened. Not a lot, but it happens once or twice a year.
Yep, it happens.
It's a sad situation, but it does happen. Either we can't get a hold of a family member, it's all we can do.
Yeah, is that all you can do? Mm-hmm. It happens. Sometimes we have a man come up here and drink. He was just drinking stuff. He'd been about a week. But we were straight on, he used to come up here. See, she was a straight on before she met. And he come up here and he'd be drunk. And boy, he could do some talking. He was married. His mother was a stay at home, but his daddy was a petty daddy. And he would get drunk. Then he'd get out in the hall. I tell you right now. I said, now I got all that damn cigarette blood in me. I said, I ain't no damn fool. Now, them good for body can get a bit of that. You see, about a week, just drunk all of them down the hall in the town. It was a man. talking about it.
Yeah, it was no good, but
Trayhorn's was fine. That was his mother's
too. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But Pennygrass was his daddy's people, so it wasn't no good. He had all Pennygrass in here.
That's funny.
And he would carry on up and down hall. We couldn't have work for that man.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what happened. The security guard went up one night on his round, and he said he found a pair of shoes sitting on the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know what it was, you know, so he went up the third floor and started his round, come back around the elevator, went down the second floor. He said, stepped off the elevator, and there was a shirt. And said he turned, walked up the hall up towards 245 a little bit, and says, there was a tie, you know. Says, next thing you know, there's a pair of pants. And he stood around in front of 248, says, there was a man. Bug naked without a stitch on. And he was laying there holding his key going, I can't figure out how to get it in the door.
Is that the right door?
That was the right door.
Sometimes they're the wrong door.
He started getting undressed in the elevator, and he just left clothes all the way down the hall.
We had that to happen. Yeah, remember the man that got come down and stay at the front desk naked?
Oh, Lord.
Remember the man that whoever was in 212, what's your name? In 212 and went downstairs naked. You remember that? Put him out the front desk for something and didn't have a stitch on. Do you remember that, Ron?
That just got everybody right there. He's
been 212 went down to the front desk and didn't stitch. Oh, man.
Well, another incident we had about 3:26 a minute. We don't know whether he set his high step on fire or not.
Yeah, he set his high step
on
fire.
Oh, wow.
3:26.
Yeah.
The smoke was all in the hall and you just smelled. We were wondering which way to go. Mm-hmm. Which direction to go to find it.
I think it's a suicide from Adam. Because he came in. Because he had... How many people had committed suicide?
We had a bunch more bikes.
Well, we've had, yeah, we've had, I think we've had...
Or come close and we've
had three to ask him to ask them to, I believe. He came in, no, late afternoon like this, no, mm-hmm. And we, one thing to hinder us from smelling, so they was putting the top on the place and all that tar was smelling,
yeah.
See.
Mm-hmm.
And, we, it's time for us to get off, you know,
uh-huh. Yeah.
And he came in and he went in his room, and it was hot, and it was in the back, because it was in the summer, when it was warm, the weather was warm, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, he pulled all the shades down, you know, locked mm-hmm. the door. And then he went in there and he laid with the baby. And had the trash can beside his baby.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were working, it was a room that before you left in the afternoon, before you left your job for the day, you had to go back and recheck the halls
mm-hmm.
to see that everything was in shape, that nothing was out of order, mm-hmm. you know. And because when the maid went back and he checked the house, all the smoke was coming out of the room. And so she tried to open the door, but he couldn't change the door. So then she went to hollering all the way, everybody was running. Because the man was in there, she could hear him groaning, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So the kitchen man, Matthew's kitchen, came over and burst the door down, went in there and drug him out.
Mm-hmm.
They carried him to the hospital, but he died.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know whether he... We always thought it was a room for it,
mm-hmm.
because that was a little room up there. He was 3 feet 6, a little room. He drove by, he could come out of there.
Yeah.
He got out of there, you know. But we always decided, thought that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, but the lady, you know, he was the lady for me, said, wasn't he?
I don't think so.
1309?
No.
Maybe you hadn't got here then.
I went to see what, about 7 and a half years
now. No, it's a possibility that you hadn't come to work here. But she checked in that night. She was from Chapel Hill.
Uh-huh.
She was from Chapel Hill.
Uh-huh.
But she had married somebody and moved to Florida.
Uh-huh.
And she and her husband, something was on the bus. I don't know what happened. Something was going on wrong, you know, if it was. But, and she came back here to live.
Uh-huh.
Came back here. And she checked in 309 that night.
Uh-huh.
And when the maid came to me and she says, well, I can't get in the lady's room, so I've been trying to get in there all the morning.
Uh-huh.
Says, and my door's got a chain on it, it's locked, and I can't get in it. I said, well, let me go try. So I said, well, nobody else couldn't get in it. So then I came down and reported it. No, you wasn't working for it here, but then. So just so happened it was Mr. Moses was sick, because he used to go over on the weekend.
Uh-huh.
So I went in and I told him, I said, lady, the door is locked, she doesn't know. And the
change
is in the amazing, I mean, about 3:30, about 4 o'clock then.
Yeah.
And so he said, well, I think, he said, you go upstairs and open the door first and put a mirror and see if you can see over the
uh-huh.
room. So I put the mirror in there, and she was lying up there in the bed. So I told her, I said, she's lying in bed, but she's running fast. And he said, well, you get the maintenance to come up, and I'm going to call the law. So he called the law, and the maintenance come up and took the door off the hook so we could get in.
Yeah.
And she said, she was in the medicine side. She was dead.
Mm.
That night, she came right in, and she had never taken her clothes off.
Mm.
She just came right in. And had her clothes on,
uh-huh.
and she had never got inside the bed.
Uh-huh.
Lay right down on top of the bed and took all these things.
Uh-huh.
And then it was one more. Who was the other one done? The other one.
Yeah,
one done. Another one done. So that was the other one. There's so many of them. And then this woman, I think she wanted to commit to it. I think she wanted to turn her husband.
She wanted to what?
Well, just turn her husband.
Uh-huh, yeah.
She just,
it went too far.
Well, no, she didn't go too far. She didn't want to miss that. She was going, I don't know what was wrong with her. No. She was a young woman. And she checked in, and her husband was supposed to come in at 5 o'clock, but she knew it. This was up in Tennessee, and she was supposed to come in. Her husband was supposed to come in at 5 o'clock. She came checking. He was supposed to meet her at 5, because he was coming from one place, and she was coming from another.
Uh-huh.
And she goes up there and checks in the room about 4 or 4 after 4.
Uh-huh.
And then she cuts her wrist, she don't cut her wrist with it. Cut herself up and leave herself for me. First day she says she runs up the tub for hot water.
Uh-huh.
Then she cuts, then she go cut her wrist.
Uh-huh.
And I really blood or something scared her. I don't know what scared her, something scared her or something. After she cut her wrist, she called downstairs and told me, that she cut her wrist.
Hmm.
The wrist was cut and she's bleeding, she hasn't come to call in. And then she jumps in the hot tub of water.
Yeah.
But she still had the razor blade on her head. She jumps in the hot tub of water.
Mm-hmm.
And cooked, and she had left a note there saying for her to hug me up. That I'm what she said to come to visit me, but I'm going to hug me up. And she was still trying to cut her under the water. When the ambulance come there, she was sitting up and had on a roof. Family out with blood and it. She had on a black nightgown and she's sitting up in the tub of water up in it and bloody bit the feet and she's cutting herself a hot tub of water.
Lord.
He had to come and take out of that water and put it on the stretcher and carry it to the hospital. Well, her husband did come in there about 1:15.
Mm-hmm.
But she knew he was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think she was just doing something to spite him.
Or she wanted him to find her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that was the plan, but she must have got right. When he got here, she was going to be dead.
Mm-hmm. Got caught in traffic.
When she got here, I think that was her plan.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know why she called downstairs after she cut, because anybody wouldn't call for help. But she called for help. That was because the room was I had just turned the room in and she just checked in. She hadn't been in there all 10 minutes.
But she had this on playing.
Yeah, I said, I think she just wanted to spite her husband and do something to her husband. I think that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, Velma, I got to get back to work.
Nice talking to you. Nice talking to you, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then maybe we'll have a chance to sit out and run around for them. The rest of everybody's gone, not
all. Yeah, well, Ruthie's here till 4.
Oh, well, I thought I looked at him 6:59. We thought we'd see Ann or Sarah or one for over there.
Yeah, they're
still here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know where they moved the office at, don't you? Have you been down since they moved the office?
No, I haven't been here. Where's the office now?
It's the old ladies' locker room.
Old ladies' locker room.
Yeah, if you take the stairs, the loading dock stairs in the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
you know, you walk out and the storeroom's right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just around the corner from the storeroom there. To the left.
That's the men's.
There's the men's and the women's.
What you mean?
It's before you get to the maintenance shop.
Right there.
Oh, well, what time do we have?
It's almost 4. Do you want to stop for today?
Are you going to talk so long?
Well, do you want to?
Well, it's up to you. A lot of them.
Why
don't we leave it here and then pick up with you again another day? Can we talk to you?
Yeah, we can come back another day.
Yeah. We have so many great stories.
Maybe I can think a little bit more now since we got it started.
Maybe can you find that book that you have? The book of the pictures?
Oh yes, I'm going to. I'll bring that up here.
Okay. Okay. That'd be great.
Yeah, we gotta pick it up another day.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot, we could talk about a whole lot of little different things.
Oh, we love it. We love this. This is great.
It's wonderful.
a lot of experience.
It really is. After you stay at a place so long, the different changes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're
completely changed
with them. And you know, after you get
set
up.
Changed up here.
Huh?
I said it has changed completely up here.
Mm-hmm. It certainly has. I mean it has.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a barroom in
Carolina. No, they didn't have a barroom. Oh,
they drank plenty. That's
what they didn't have a barroom.
They drank their own. They didn't have to go out to eat it in no store to buy nothing. They bring it in those.
Well, that was because of the law, which was stupid. They didn't have a law. You wasn't allowed to serve drink, but you could brown bag.
Right.
You never heard of the brown bag law?
Uh-huh.
But you could bring your own. Well, now, if I sit in this bar and say I want a drink, I know those cocktails, and probably drink one drink. If I come in a brown bag with a pint of whiskey, I'm going to drink it all before I leave, because I went out there, we opened it with a rest.
Oh.
So you got drunk.
Well, Ben, with those older people drunk,
you see what I mean? You couldn't go out and put an open ball in your butt.
They could just drink and drink.
You had to finish it. If you're McCoy, you had to finish it. Take a chance on getting caught with the law.
That was
why everybody came here. When we were up until the late year, go to put the ball in, go to pass whiskey by the drink. Everybody came, bought their own
That's
liquor.
Right.
Mm. Bought their own whiskey. And then, especially if it came from north, you know, a lot of lumber worth a lot more. And if it came from up north, they would drink up. You didn't have no ABC stoves here. See, no, you know, wasn't no way to buy the whiskey unless you went out here and bought you some corn with some white light and stuff like that. Wasn't no way to buy them. And they would come in from up north where they could buy it. And they would bring it with them. And they'd bring the big jars of liquor. What the hell would be there? Especially if they're going to be here a whole week, they'd bring a gallon jar. See what I'm